Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
He's a soca superstar, a Billboard charting artist, and a proud son of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. You know his hit, Turn Me On, but do you really know the man who turned the world on to the Caribbean rhythm? Today, on the Baja TV podcast, we go deeper with the international hitmaker, entrepreneur, and music visionary, a man I am proud to call my friend, Kevin Little.
Hey guys, welcome to Baja TV Podcast. It's your girl Basha, and today I'm very excited. I am going to be chatting with my brother from another mother, my longtime friend, the legend Kevin Little is in studio. But before we start asking him all the juicy stuff, we gotta pay some bills, yo.
This episode is brought to you by Forever Radiant.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I introduce you to the man himself, Kevin Little.
Yeah. Hey! Miss Bazia, how are you?
How are you doing, sugar? How are you doing? How is Miami? Is it sunny in Miami?
Yeah, that's what giving all the light right now, because I ain't got no light. The sunlight working with my skin, right? Look at
that. Listen, it's kind of overcast here in Georgia. It's about to be a rainy day in Georgia, for real. Not the sun. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we need some sun. So I can't wait to come to Miami and hang out. But meantime, welcome to the Baja TV podcast.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to come to Georgia on June 13th. So you'll see me in Atlanta.
Yeah. Miami, you never know. But let's talk. You know, a lot of people, Kev, they don't know your full name. Your Lescott Kevin Little Coons, right?
Lescott,
okay.
Like French.
You're going to hear him correct my pronunciation a lot. Yes, Lescott. Okay, so I can't pronounce that. That's why it's called Kevin. So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Why did you, with such an auspicious name, decide to take off the two names at the front, the first and the last, and go with Kevin Little? Now, I'm glad you did, because obviously I would not have known how to pronounce your first name. But why did you go with Kevin Little, the singer?
Well, it wasn't really like I tried to do it. It was just how life happened, you know. My mom always called me Kevin. So all my real friends call me Kevin, you know, like people who grew up with me and stuff. They actually, Bam was my nickname at home in my neighborhood. Yeah, Bam. Was my great grandmother, you know. You're a little kid, a little toddler. But you know, my great grandmother used to call me that. So really and truly, in the neighborhood, hardly anybody called me by any of my name. In my neighborhood, everybody calls me Bam, right? Yeah. But, you know, as I grew into entertainment at an early age and started putting my name out there. And just in school in general, my friends in school, they would make fun of my first name.
Really?
They would call me Lessie, or he get cut on it, Less. And they started to do all kind of funny thing with my name, because Les Scott is really not really a common name per se.
I know that name. You know, I know what that name, and I can't pronounce it.
But yeah, it's like Westcott, you know. But as I moved on, you know, I mean, thing is that that name, as I got more serious in and older in life, and doing more things, radio stations started to call my name. You know, one of the biggest radio announcers in St. Vincent at the time, Glenn Jackson, was saying, you know, King Kevin is going to come perform. And, you know, this was before I even had a hit or even was performing with Black Sun and Signal, which were like the top bands in St. Vincent.
Were you still a customs officer at that time?
When before I was a customs officer, I was like 14, 15, 16 years of age, singing, doing little numbers, doing over little covers on stage live. You know, I would sing Tried My Best by Barrington Levy, or Show Me With Your Love by Atlantic Star. You know, and that kind of started giving me a little bit of, you know, attention throughout the year, and got me in with the bands. I formed a group in school, got me in with the bands and things like that. And during that period of my teenage life, my name morphed into Kevin Little in terms of publicly, but in school, everybody still called me Lescott just to trouble me. So all my friends in school called me Lescott, Lessie, Little. Yes. They would call me Little, you know?
I'm you bam from today. Anytime you get me trouble, you bam. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kev, a lot of people don't realize this about you, because you're such a... You're one of the nicest guys I know, and I'm really sorry to let the cat out of the bag. People don't understand what a nice person you are deep down inside. You don't always behave nicely, but you are nice. Like you're one of my friends I know that, and anybody who's lucky to call you a friend, like you always be there for them. Like,
yes.
I was saying to my producer before the show, so I said, listen, if I don't have a house tomorrow, I'm calling Kevin Little and saying, hey, I come around you in Miami, you know, you have room for me? And he'd be like, yes. And when I leave, then he'd be vexed and going.
You know what you mean? You know, the thing with me, you know, I think I've gotten to a point in my life where I understand that, and it's something that is innately in me.
Yes.
You know, I understand that. Me, myself, is not really as important as the people that I have in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
You love family and you love your friends like that.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, life is about not just doing for yourself, but doing for others. And when you get to that point of realization that all the material things, they don't mean nothing without people. Mm-hmm. All the nice cars, all the money, if you ain't got nowhere to go, nobody to spend it with, nobody to show off the car to.
Yes, you have to show off your cars to me, right?
No house to show off. Nobody to show off the house to. Nobody to use the house. You're alone up inside it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, what's the sense? You know, and I think that in the back of my head, subconsciously, I'm always willing to extend myself to everybody I'm close with. You know, it might not come out my mouth that way at times, because I'm
very crude when you're ready, Kev. I know
crude when I'm ready, but sometimes it's just me just being cut and dry because I don't care. I'll be like, yo, yeah, just do that now. Like, you know.
That's what people brought up. You know, grandma Jazzy, who's had an amazing impact on your life. I mean, you grew up with your grandmother and your mom. I didn't have the good fortune of meeting your mother, because we became friends later, but I knew your grandmother. And she helped me to understand who Kevin Little is. You know, I'm very grateful for that.
You understand how she was? Like, she was not easy to go with.
Yeah.
If she loved you, she gave you everything.
Yes.
She will give you everything. But if you trespass and she you can't start off wrong with she. You know, that was my grandmother.
But that's who you are too. That's who you are.
Yeah. Well, I guess to certain extent, yes, because I'm very open and trusting at first to people, but as soon as you
take care of those you love, and that's what I love about you. But you know, another thing that I like, I'm exposing all your business to me, right? Another thing that I love about you as a friend is, and I want the fans to know this, is really how down to earth you are. I mean, I don't know many international soca artists who really been able to live the life you've lived and exist in the circles you exist in. I mean, you hang with the who's in Miami, and speaking of, I just see you with Khaled and Ron Marley and then at some point.
Yeah.
You've always been doing this. You, based on where your career took you, and you still live in St. Vincent, you still live there too. But you have been able to delicately balance the rise with still remaining humble and true to yourself and true to your roots. And
yeah.
I admire that about you. A lot of people cannot do that. You've never known where you came from. And I like that, you know?
Well, you know, I kind of, what should I say? I've kind of lived my life in a way to make that easy for me by just being myself all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, whether it be that it's me trying to impress you, I impress you by just being me. Like, I'm not really good with the fake shit. Yeah. I'm very good with telling you the truth.
Yes.
Like, I tell the truth so much that I overtell it.
Like, you overtell it.
Yeah, I give too much information a lot of the time. But in a sense, too, that humility and that openness has protected me. And what I found that it has done, it has always kept me in certain circles all the time. You know, people of like interest, like personality, like mind, always are fully brought back to each other by the universe in some way. We keep reconnecting because our deeds are connected. You know what I'm saying? So that has somewhat protected me in that way and just kept me in the right circles all the time, because I'm never up in a function or meeting somebody and pretending like I'm more than them, or up in there to say, beat my chest and be like, yo,
that's not who you are.
Yo, you need to give me respect. No, I respect you. So you automatically respect me. I'm not demanding anything of anybody. I just, you know, if it has to be demanded, however.
Yes.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
It really has to be an extreme to get that type of personality out of me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I've seen you in professional circles, and I've seen you just when we were hanging. And I would say that you're more extroverted when you're hanging with your own, with your people, with your friends.
In
a professional environment, I've seen you more withdrawn. I don't know if it's because you're waiting to go on stage and you need to go in your head and you know.
If it's before I perform, yeah, definitely. Because singing the way I do is really nerve-wracking, you know? And sometimes
you want it to be nerve-wracking?
For me, it is, because as a singer, you know, people, you know, it's easy to rap. And I am not downplaying that talent to be able to come up with rhymes, right? And do them off the top of your head. But when you're talking about using your voice as like an instrument that stays in key all the time, then it becomes nerve-wracking, because you're singing all these pretty notes and all this kind of stuff, and you want it to sound good for the people who are paying to see you to perform. You want to sound good all the time, but it doesn't always happen. And like for me, when I'm back there, I'm checking my voice, I'm doing a few vocal exercises, I'm humming, I'm, you know, getting my voice warm, or I'm either trying to stay quiet because I've already checked my voice and my voice is good, and I'm just trying to stay quiet and talk soft and not yell before I get on stage to sing. You know, so it's always been a kind of nerve-wracking moment.
All these years, you've even performed at some of our events in the Caribbean, and I never ever knew that you get nervous to this day.
No, man, you always, you know, when you're getting up in front of people, if you are not nervous, then you're taking the thing for granted.
Yeah. Your
nerves keep you in check.
Wow. You know?
And I appreciate the nerves for that, because, you know, sometimes you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's not mistakes that are intentional. It might be something that you just was putting your best foot forward with the greatest intention. As you say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yeah. It'd be a good intention, but then it turned out to be something bad.
Yeah.
But this is how, to as well, your humility and people knowing you and you being real, people know sometimes, people automatically don't know it's a good intention. It wasn't like that. So, you know, but if you are arrogant and always beating your chest and acting like you're this and you're that, and you make a mistake and something come across wrong, people have enough fuel and ammunition to fully take you down.
Yeah.
Because now you can't, no amount of apology is going to make it better.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be like, yo, he always so arrogant, or he always so puffy, and you can't even talk to him. He always got people wrong him. You can't even get an autograph. You can't, you understand?
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's according to Tiger, who is one of my favorite dancehall artists. You know, it's nice to be important, but it is more important to be nice.
I love that. I love that. I think that's gonna be on my WhatsApp status. It's nice to be important, but more important to be nice. I think that's how I live my life. Even
be nice, Big up Tiger.
That's nice. Yeah. What do you think accounts for your longevity all these years? I mean, and do you still enjoy what you do? Do you still enjoy singing and entertaining and traveling the world? Because I know you have other things going on, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Do you still enjoy doing that?
Well, the first part of the question, my longevity. I don't know, man. I think because I think one of the main things that contributes to my longevity is that my music has never been matched. You know, Turn Me On has not been matched in any way, and that song it's become a classic in the world.
Correct. You know?
And you know, it's in karaoke, it's being sung over by big international stars everywhere. It's a wedding song, it's a club song, it's a party song, it's a slow jam.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was originally a slow jam from 112 that I took to make that record.
Wow. You know?
So it's actually the song. And then I think the way the time and place that everything happened for me as well put me in a position where I made history for a genre of music from the Caribbean and for Caribbean music in general.
Yeah. You know? Not to catch you, but speaking of genre and of music, and this is a two-part comment, but I'll say this part first.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that everybody's talking about steam right now, steam and soca and zest music.
Mm-hmm.
But pardon me for my naivety, because, you know, I'm not an artist, but I'm someone who enjoys the music and memory. But wouldn't you say that you were the original architect of steam and zest, that soca dancehall blend with Turn Me On?
Well, yeah, I mean, the song is a soca song that says, well, it's a big dancehall song on a mazzart alongside Kevin Little. You know, it's a you mixing dancehall style with soca, and not even just soca, you're mixing it with zouk.
Mm-hmm.
It's inside there too. There's R&B inside there, there's pop inside there. So, you know, the song itself, that's why it is like the, now it has become the formula for creating a crossover Caribbean song.
100%.
turned me on is that formula, that foundation formula that you make a crossover song with, even in Afrobeat. Nobody was singing.
You were visionary for this.
Yes. Nobody was singing on these type of beats
in that way. The best to ever do it, but the first.
Yes, yes. And make it an international hit.
So let's touch on that international, right? Mm. There's something that bothers me. Not because I'm your friend, but because I'm right. Because we come from different parts of the Caribbean, and a lot of people don't realize how insular we are as a people. And unfortunately, we are also very crab in the barrel. And I'm not here to knock my people because we're still proud of where we came from. Mm-hmm. But we can recognize our flaws so that we can get better, right? But another thing that causes me, I don't want to say pain, but it gets me frustrated, is when I hear people say they're waiting for soca to go international.
Right.
And that is very disrespectful to the likes of Kevin Little, number one, to the likes of even Rupee, the great Rupee, right?
Yeah.
I want to tell you, as you know, my second job, I have many jobs, right? I'm a hustler. Yeah. Right? As my sister says, I'm a professional gangster. Right? I have many jobs. So my other main job, which is as a legend agent, as a sports agent, takes me all over the world.
Mm.
And I am telling you, I cannot begin to tell you how many places I've been outside, besides India, Sri Lanka, Qatar. I'm not making this up. I have evidence. And as you are at a resort, you would either hear Kevin Little or Shaggy.
Yeah.
Guys, I cannot make this up. This is just, you know, they said numbers don't lie, right? And everywhere you go in the world, you hear Turn Me On. Not only that, so that alone doesn't make it international. And I think people have this idea that if you don't get a Grammy, you're not international. There are many international R&B stars who never got a Grammy, but they're international. Take that. But what also makes this legendary song and this legendary man international is how many people could say, artists from the Caribbean could say that their songs were in a movie? Checks are still being collected years later. Royalties are still popping in. You talk to that. Yeah. And add to this. And this whole idea that it's a one-hit wonder. Hey, if I had to ever get a hit, it needs to be a hit like this because it has created so many different businesses, opportunities for you to have a legendary career, and I'm so proud of that. Speak to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Turn Me On, the thing that happened with that song is that it was so out of left field. It came out of left field. And because it came out of left field, there was a lot of hate. There was a lot of pushback. There was a lot of fight. There was a lot of, he just come and, it ain't like he walk. It ain't like he been here for years grinding like the rest of we, you know? So there was a lot of struggles for me in the beginning getting accepted as an artist as well in the Caribbean. And then even in my own country, because, you know, all these islands are connected. And when it comes to soca, everybody looks to Trinidad. So, you know, they all talk to one another. And so even in my own country, I was getting certain levels of fight and pushback to say, yo, you know, who you think you be and, you know, you ain't do this or do that, like so and so yet. You ain't reach these positions yet. You know what I'm saying?
And,
yeah, but, you know, it became a three-year journey to get Turn Me On where it is. You know, Turn Me On took 3 years of me touring and performing all over the world, even on an international level before I got signed. I was basically the first internet sensation. Mm-hmm. In terms of being the first artist to really land a major deal from the Caribbean in that sense where no label was involved. Mm-hmm. It was just me, I got all my CDs, put them on my backpack, you know, working with myself and my uncle at the time.
Yeah.
We printed up all the CDs, went around, sold them, gave them out to business places and all this kind of stuff, gave them to the van drivers and all that. Walked around, got sponsors from the banks and from the institutions and stuff that could contribute to me getting my recording done. You know, this is how it was done. It was a highly independent project.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people didn't see the work. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't count the work because by the time the song got signed in 2003, it was already 2 years.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I was old in the Caribbean.
Wow.
Right? And I had other hits in the Caribbean. I had Call Me, was Mash Up Vinci Carnival and Mash Up.
Is it Home for Carnival?
Home for Carnival was way after, right?
But again, another hit. You have hits from regions. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, and then you had Last Drop, which came out in 2003, the year I got signed, and that had Spraga on it. It was a number one record again in the region, went to number one in Jamaica.
Nice.
After that, Turn Me On just blew up worldwide.
Yeah.
Massively too. You know, there was quite a few other records in between me and Skinny Fabulous dropped a record as well, but Skinny was something like Bounty at the time. Skinny was in there. Aha, aha, me bust down, me bust down, me bust down. Yo, he was really like, and people was like, whoa.
Stop it.
Like, whoa, is that Kevin Little and Bounty? And so they were thinking it's me and Bounty, right?
Yeah.
But at the time, I wasn't as seasoned as all these other artists. I wasn't from Jamaica, and I wasn't from Trinidad. Yeah. So I didn't understand the business completely, as in how to go about getting collaborations with all these other big stars and thing, how to meet with them and work with them. There was no social media at the time either, where you could reach out to a man and write, or a man could reach out to you and write. So much so to the point when I first, like in Jamaica in 2003, when I was just getting my deal, and I think Sharon Burke met me. Sharon Burke was like, yo, you know how long I trying to meet you, trying to reach you, trying to...
And you know she's Shaggy's manager, to put it in the context.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that I personally I ain't gonna know, because there's no way to reach when you're a new artist, and when you get as big as I do right away, there's a lot of walls that you don't even put up that are just automatically put up around you.
Correct.
You know, so it became it's also in people's minds as well. You know, people put their own walls around you from their mind, because they think that you are so big and untouchable, and they expect you to be a certain way, you know. But at the time, that is how it was. And you know, I have these few hits in the Caribbean, but everybody is like, he always would just turn me on, turn me on, turn me on. And yo, so it becomes
from the Caribbean, so what do you
turn me on? And you know, everybody's singing it over, everybody have it in karaoke.
Yeah.
And now I'm signed to Atlantic Records. We have an international release coming for the song, first international release. Mm-hmm. After the song been circulating for 2 years, already I was touring Europe. Mm-hmm. Already I was doing all the big clubs in Europe, all the big clubs in Canada and the US. I was performing for them already without a label, you know. I mean, and the thing is, you could say that If I was the person I am now, mm-hmm. I would have made some of the deals even deeper than they are.
Correct.
But the thing is, I didn't have the knowledge I have now.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have no mentors. I wish I could have met properly a Bounty or a proper sit down with a Marshall Montano, because I didn't understand the
I think the timing was also mixed up with, you've had a great partnership around you in your life, Jackie, right?
Yeah.
Jackie has been a major force behind.
You can't discount Alison Hunt in the beginning of my career as my first manager that took me to where I got to, you know, with signing Atlantic and getting there, you know? Mm-hmm. The thing is that all I'm trying to say is that mentorship is something that is extremely important in the music industry.
Right.
If you don't get good mentorship when you're a new artist,
it's rough.
I get your point. And I mean, I survived and was able to achieve what I was able to achieve, not just because it was meant to be, but because there was just certain things that I knew in terms of business operation of the business of music.
Correct.
You know, I knew, hey, hold on to your publishing, hold on to your royalties or whatever, make sure you're getting residual income, because the show money ain't gonna last. But actually my show money turned out to be last because I've been booked every month.
Yeah. everywhere, all over the globe, eh?
Yeah, I'm always booked, you know, so I'm lucky in that way. I call that part luck, but it's really not, because the song itself is so big.
Okay, you've done the work.
Yeah. You know, and
the deals now you're collecting with even the performances. That's kind of like residuals based on the work you did to make this song such a legendary song.
Yeah. And I mean, to be making tens of thousands of dollars sometimes just to go and sing one song, you know, is crazy, you know.
That's it.
You know, and like right now, Beanie Man just called me, say, yo, Kevin, come perform for Beanie Man and Friends in New York for me now. I'll call you up on stage and thing, show some money in your hand, they come do that. You know, and the type of camaraderie that I get from that, you know, because I did that for Beanie before in Jamaica when he first was having his parties back in the day, you know. It's still there, and people still call on me because they know, yo, Kevin Little is a humble dude. Kevin Little ain't going to be like, yo, put you over the head and try to puff up your chest and be, you know what I'm saying? So I always get calls. I'm always booked, you know?
Listen, on the topic of Beanie Man, can you please call your friend Beanie Man and tell him that my producers have been waiting on an answer from him for the longest while, since he's your friend and he asked you for a favor. Ask him back for one for your next friend now.
What happened to my favor? I trying to get a favor from him too for this favor I do for him.
He's not a favor for your friend now. But he's not right? On the topic of Beanie Man, so who do you consider to be the king of the dance? Or is the latest question out here, Beanie Man or Vybz Kartel?
That is, I've been looking at the interviews of that and I've just been laughing because, you know what it is? You have to understand a veteran like Beanie. Beanie has been around and has done a lot for the genre.
You know my age, Kevin Little. You're trying to tell me that I have to understand.
I'm just saying in general. I'm speaking in general, not to you directly. I'm just saying in general. We all have to understand his love. Yeah, we have to understand.
You're not getting away from this. Who's the king of the dance?
No, I'm gonna answer you. Yeah, let me ask you to get next point. You know, he to me, that name was given to him long before anybody else became a dancehall star, and he paved a road for everybody else. Him, Buju, Bounty, these guys, these three musketeers have paved a road in dancehall music for everybody else.
Facts.
You can say he's being jealous or he's being whatever, you know, about Kartel's success, but...
I didn't say that. To be very clear, I didn't say that, but go ahead.
I mean, I've seen the kind of conversations that are being said, you know. I'm not saying that you say that. I'm just saying that people can say what they want to say in terms of his attitude, but his achievements remain. He did do this. He did put the bricks in that road long before. I still say he's the king because he is the veteran. He's been there for 20 odd years, probably more than that. It's been 30 years. He's been doing it since he's been 17.
Well, I could have the queen mother. So Benny can be the king father.
Yeah, that's what he is. And that's what I'm saying. He is the king. Everybody has, because I love Cartel. Cartel is the new generation and the big Cartel. Yeah, he's huge. He's humongous. And he's taking the mantle right now. That the same with Ashaba took it as well, too. Yeah. You know, where he's doing these big arenas and really doing it for dancehall music. And that deserves its merit and it whatever accolades that comes with it for him. Beanie Man created whatever accolades or whatever came around because of what he did. The king of the dancehall, you know what I'm saying? So, and that was his team. So he is still the king.
This king and this dominance.
Yeah, but he's still the king of the dancer. It was literally saying the king of the dancer was because of Beanie Man. I was never hearing no argument.
The first time we heard that, it was because of Beanie Man, right?
It was because of Beanie Man.
But I want to point out something as it's like me saying I'm the queen of talk of the Caribbean. Listen, and once upon a time, they tried to put a label on me. And then what it does is the same crab in the barrel thing. You can have...
It's a target on your head.
Because
they label me the king of soca and it's put a target on my head forever. Everybody...
Yes, and that was for us. Because everybody wanted to be king. But that is the same crab in the barrel mentality.
I never said I was the king of soca.
No, you never said that. But the point is, you could be a king... Marshall could be a king, Skinny could be a king, Bungie could be a king. We could have a lot of kings. We have to start to operate like understanding that. Okay, why isn't Beyonce and J-Lo and everybody else and Diana Ross and everybody fighting for a queen of something? Why they can all exist in their majestic branding image in their own space and all their concerts sell out, but nobody's fighting to Mariah Carey, nobody's fighting to be queen of anything. They can all be queens. Why can't Caribbean music be like this? Why can't we understand that Kes is our boss, Marshall is our boss, Kevin Little is our boss, Bungie is our boss, Skinny is our boss, Beanie is our boss, Vice Cartel is our boss. Why do we have to keep fighting in the barrel?
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that what you have here is a situation where America is, quote unquote, the most influential country in the world. And the artists from America, the icons of music.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
People look up to because the way that the media and the labels have set up the industry in America is very superficial. There's artists who are broke in America who have big names. Correct. And you think they're billionaires
living in their cars
or they don't even have two penny to rub together to make one, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying. So are they living show by show? You know, the thing is that facade, paycheck to paycheck, that facade that's been created by the media in entertainment in America has got us in the Caribbean side of things. And mind you,
trying to be the king of this and the queen of this.
Yes, this is our facade, putting extra fluffy words around our achievements to make it look like we are more than somebody else in some way. And that is in our culture. All of these things are even in America, because even the blacks of America are actually the most influential in music in general still. And the fact of the matter is the history of Black music in America has a lot to do around Caribbean music as well. Caribbean music is a major part of what created hip hop and rap and, you know, the pop genre. You have people like Harry Belafonte who created some aspects of that pop music industry and influenced it in a way, along with Bob Marley, correct, in a way that create what they have now. Yeah. But we don't get that type of recognition for being foundation builders.
I'd like to see us move on from everybody trying to
get. Yeah, but the thing is to move on from that, there's a need for a unification of all the Black cultures around the world. Mm-hmm. And we need to move out from just looking at it as America, having American artists having this, but we also need to look at it as our culture, our nation, our people having this, and not just because now look, what's his name? Burna Boy just came and sold out concerts in America. Mm-hmm. He was not, I don't think he was in any way tied up with any big label in that sense, but he was selling out arenas. Yeah. I was touring the world for 3 years before I got signed, making mad money on shows before I got signed. You know, this is the kind of historical things that our people do. And we have to start nurturing the truth more than we nurture the facade, the fluff.
I want to see all our top soca stars come together to, as you said, mentorship was lacking for you. And we need to give each other the respect that we deserve. We don't need to be the best in the room. That kind of mentality was handed down from slavery. And some people are still perpetuating that. And it's something that makes me sick in my stomach because I'm someone I so respect talent and achievement. This is why the Basha platform was born, to be able to highlight the greatest of the great. Suppose I just had one person to interview. Listen. What happened to this platform? We wouldn't have a platform. If we just had one great person, we wouldn't have media, you know? Right. And I commend you for your greatness. I am here today to give you your flowers. What you have done, plenty people ain't do so. Okay. I am proud of that. It don't mean that somebody else cannot do it, or when they do it, Kevin Little will be the first to say, yo. Big job, I love it. Because game, no game. It takes one to know one, right? But we have to give each other our flowers. We have to stop trying to, not you and I necessarily, right? We're talking about as a Caribbean people. We have to stop trying to, you know, I'm a heavy believer in God, and I feel that our gifts come from Him. We can't be praying. Those of us who subscribe to that type of spirituality, we can't be praying for our gifts to be out there and showcase and to feed our families. And then we don't want God to bless somebody else with gifts to feed their families and so on. We can't do that as a people. So we have to honor and just respect everybody who comes from our region. Who we've just all been blessed to have exceptional lives. I mean, you are one of them for sure. And I would never, ever like to hear anybody disrespect the volume of work that you have created.
Yeah.
And to label that as one thing. And before we go, I want to talk about some of your other projects, because what I love about your achievements is the fact that you did not just leave it to music and you have your own label. You still have Icon Records, is it?
Or yes.
So you have your own label and you're reaching back and bringing up the next generation and opening.
Yes. But we're doing that now more through distribution with our company Entertainment Made Easy. Yeah.
Yes. And also you tell your fans more about your company Bonzu, and that I know that's a new passion of yours. You're obsessed with this. which is the business side of Kevin Little that they don't know about. Tell us some more about that.
Well, Vonzu is actually a service company dealing with delivery and pick up and drop, you know, picking up people here and there and dropping them where they want to go. The app, I launched the app in St. Vincent about 3.5 years ago, probably nearly 4 now. I don't even count the time.
Yeah.
For me, I'm just grinding until it becomes a billion-dollar company. You know what I'm saying? I'm not watching time. You know, you love something, you just go, right?
As soon as you found it, you told us, and you've been obsessed with it ever since.
Yeah, because I believe in it. You know, it's kind of the same way I believed in my music and believed that I would be successful. You know, people hated me because I made so much damn noise. I would sing every minute. So, you know, with Vonzu, it's the same thing. You know, I'm very passionate about it. So much so the company is already a $1 million company. Mm-hmm. It's about to be launched in the other Caribbean islands. I'm actually upgrading at the moment, and we're making it a super app. It's doing food delivery, grocery package. We have something called Errands, which in America they say courier.
Yeah.
But we call it Errands in the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, we don't say nothing but no courier. We just say Errands.
Running Errands, yeah.
Right. So we have that as well. So you'll be able to basically go into the app and get somebody to go and pick up something and drop it off somewhere for you. You know what I'm saying? You forget your passport at home, you send somebody and they bring it to the airport for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the app is also going to be going into digital payments and money transfers.
Very like, nice.
You know, very so nice. It's a super app. It's going to be doing a lot of things. You know, we're looking to
You're still turning me on.
We're looking to transform the transportation.
What this has done for your life. They don't know when you don't know how she works. Listen, I know you have to run because we said we promised we'd keep you for 40 minutes, but you just keep making Caribbean people proud. Keep doing it for us. Keep doing whatever is turning you on, because you know, we're so proud of you over here at Basha TV. We're so
I wanted to say to you that, you know, I still love doing my music. This was a part of the question that I didn't answer.
Okay.
I love doing my music. I love singing still.
Yes.
You know, so much so I have an EP coming shortly. I have a collaboration with Problem Child. I have a song written by Problem Child as well. I'm working on a collaboration with Skinny Fabulous for it. And I have a new song called Cook Food.
I never meant to leave you this way, leave you this way, lady. Soon I'll be back at your gate. Real, and this is how I feel. Baby, I love you. I really do, yeah. Soon I'm gonna send for you. And baby, I miss you like cooked food, yeah. You I never wanna lose.
Yeah, man, so that song
isn't that song for me or Jackie?
That's for everybody, and it features Spraga. You know, Spraga is back with me on this record. So Spraga Benz is on the EP as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we putting together a few things, you know, music and business as usual.
As usual, you always cooking down there in Miami.
Soon.
We have to meet up soon. You know, we're due for another holiday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We have a cruise going on.
You
jump off the boat.
We're cooking some things over here. We'll talk about that off air.
You
talk about that off air, please. We have a lot going on here. You know, we're so committed to this particular platform because of some of the reasons we talked about earlier. Just making sure that they understand that greatness comes from the Caribbean. Our people are special people. And that's why we're not going to fight each other for the rest of the world to see. We are special people. We have to protect each other. We have to, you know. So I just want to tell all the fans, continue to follow Kevin Little at Kevin Little. Instagram is Kevin Little Music. At Kevin Little, and then you have Kevin Little Music.
Yes.
There's so much more coming out. I know this Kevin's going to be back here, you know, soon to talk about some of his other projects. We can't talk about everything today.
We gotta come back and talk more about the EP. You know, when the EP stop, you got to bring me back.
Yeah, right? Of course. You know, keep it long right here. It's your girl, Basha. Don't forget to follow us at Basha TV Podcast, at Basha Powers, all our streaming platforms. We're everywhere, guys. We're everywhere. Big things happening. More celebrities coming. Let her cook, girl. Let her cook. Keep the chef at work. All right. Bye, guys. See you. Bye, Kim. I love you.